Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. This is the reading of God's word. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came, Son of Man has come, to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Oh Father, tell us through your word the wonderful stories of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done and what he has accomplished for us, that we may see our heavenly realities that our Lord Jesus has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless all of us that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us not only believe your word, but obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. Receive all the glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, what we are looking at in the book of Luke is our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing the kingdom of God. And because he's doing that, the reality of that kingdom is witnessed through what he teaches and what he is doing. As you all know, Jesus is going to Jerusalem. And you already know that he is going there to die for his people. Now, we come to chapter 19. This is an important chapter because in chapter 19 we see Jesus arriving at Jerusalem. So we begin verse 1. He entered, meaning Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. Well, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus enters the Jericho and passes through it. And in the city of Jericho, we meet a man whose name is Zacchaeus. Verse 2, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus. We find the Hebrew version of this name in Ezra chapter 2, verse 9, Zacchai. Greek version of Zacchai is Zacchaeus. And the name means righteous or pure. And as we meet this guy in our passage, we are reminded of the tax collector who we met in chapter 18. But here, Zacchaeus is not just a tax collector, but he is a chief tax collector. So he is a ruler among the tax collectors. And also it says he is rich. Now we have already seen what kind of people are the tax collectors. They collected from Jews unjustly high taxes. So they do this for the Roman Empire and made lots of profit for themselves on the side. Well, they were the most hated people by the Jews at the time. To Jews, they were simply traitors. Thus, automatically, they were sinners. Thus, in verse 7, as Jesus goes into Zacchaeus' house, we read, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Luke chapter 19, verse 3. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. It seems, according to this verse, that Zacchaeus is a small man. But not only in stature, but in every aspect. And he wanted to see who Jesus was. But there were many obstacles. The crowd was so big and he was so small. Thus, he comes up with a solution. Verse 4. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. So we see the childlikeness of Zacchaeus in this verse. At the time, anyone with his status would not have climbed up a tree to see a person. But, verse 5, when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Now picture this. The crowd is just going, and that crowd suddenly stops because Jesus stops. And Jesus meets Zacchaeus here. Now, we want to stop and think about this. We must realize something here. This meeting. Jesus and Zacchaeus. Is it by chance? Of course not. Later in verse 10, we read, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It tells us that this is not by chance. Jesus came to do this, to seek and to save. So Jesus' meeting with Zacchaeus is God's plan from even before the creation of this universe. In Jesus' appointment book, it was already written, even before creation, at this time, at this place, Jesus will meet Zacchaeus. See, Zacchaeus does not know, and he might have thought that he was seeking out Jesus, but the reality is that Jesus Christ came to Jericho to meet Zacchaeus. You see, Zacchaeus is the one who is lost, and Jesus came to seek and to save him. And exactly according to God's plan, exactly at the time of God's plan, at exactly the place according to God's plan. Jesus comes to that place and he looks up and sees Zacchaeus. And Jesus calls him by his name. There's no indication that they ever met before, and yet Jesus knows him. Well, Jesus knew him even before the creation of the universe. If you think about that, that I existed in God's mind even before the creation, I existed in his heart. And he, even then, had a plan to save me. Ah, it's just amazing grace. Now, Jesus knows him. John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. There is no need to introduce myself to our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows my name. John chapter 10, verse 3b, and the sheep hears his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Our God calls our names. He knows us intimately. Isaiah 43, verse 1, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you hear his voice calling your name, that's good enough. Because you know everything is okay. Now, Zacchaeus, come down. And he hurry and come down. So here Jesus says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Did you hear that? Today I must stay at your house. He says, I must. Meaning that that is the plan of God from the beginning. That has to happen. Because that is the will of God. Jesus going into the house of Zacchaeus is a depiction of the spiritual reality in which Jesus is going into the heart of Zacchaeus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 expresses our bodies as our houses. Thus, what we see in our passage is the new creation, the true salvation is God inviting himself into us. That's what true salvation is. Now, what happens when Jesus calls his child? Verse 6. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. Do you see it? Verse 5 and 6. This is the same as Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Whatever God commands, it happens. Zacchaeus, then he comes down and receives Jesus gladly. understand. This is why you need to read the Bible, you need to hear the word preached. Because you're going to hear God's voice through His word. Oh no, not audibly, but this is His word. So He keep telling you His word. But you see in the Bible, when His word is out, it happens. This is what your life is all about. God says, be holy. And you keep hearing. And one day, you will be. Spiritually, you are already holy. But I'm talking about the perfectness. Everything that God commands, it will happen when you get to heaven. So, I told you many times, if you could just, you know, there's 90 years of your life, and you could really push, and then make it into 1 second. That's what your life is. God says, and it will happen. That's what your life is all about. Even today, God's word is going out to you. And one day, you will be just like what God's word commands. This is what Christianity is all about. New creation. So always believe. Don't say, oh, God is telling me to be perfect. And you say, I can't. You will. You will be perfect. And spiritually, you are already perfect. In Christ, of course. So whenever you have doubt about yourself, go to Genesis 1 and read verse 2. Let there be light, and there was light. Whatever God commands, that's how you're going to be when He returns. Spiritually, you are already. See, this is why I don't want to get into, theology, but I don't divide Bible into indicative and imperative. Because even in imperative, I see indicative. Because all the commands of God tells me how I am going to be. I see my reality, the forever reality of myself in all of those commands. Live by faith. Now, Zacchaeus receives him with joy. And this is the true picture of what Christianity is. Receiving Jesus with joy. Joyous fellowship with Jesus Christ. Oh, our chief purpose is to enjoy our God forever. You know, you go ask any mother. When she has that baby, she enjoys that baby. It's just, that baby makes her so happy. Just being with that baby, looking at it. God enjoys you. He looks at you and whoa, He enjoys what He sees. Because He sees you in Christ. You're the perfect Son of God. And when we see God, we cannot but to enjoy because He is perfect. Enjoying God. joyous fellowship with Jesus Christ. And this is amazing grace, right? I mean, ask yourself, do you want to meet just anybody out there and spend all day with that person? I know there are so many people that you don't even want to see. And yet, God wants to have fellowship with you. How can you have low self-esteem knowing all that? We enjoy Jesus Christ, and Jesus, He enjoys us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, and though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you gladly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Joy inexpressible. So much joy, you cannot describe this. This is with this kind of joy that we have fellowship with our God. Now, when we read our passage, we could see clearly the joy of Zacchaeus. That joy is being witnessed. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." Do you see his joy? How great is Zacchaeus' joy here? He is so joyous, he's joyous enough that he will give to the poor the half of his possession. Unless you're this much joyous, you will not do that. He is joyous enough that he will give back four times as much if he has defrauded anyone of anything. Do you see? This is the witness of his joy. And my question to you and to me is, do you know this joy? Joy inexpressible. Joy that this world will never understand. Joy that this world will never know. Joy inexpressible. And this is the joy that comes from, only from, Jesus being with us. Can you see it in our passage? You know, Jesus is not promising anything of this world to Zacchaeus. What is Jesus promising Zacchaeus? Absolutely nothing. He just says, "I will be with you. I will come into your house today." And yet look at how joyous Zacchaeus is. How about you? When are you joyous? If I tell you that God will make you rich, are you going to be joyous? No, actually, because Zacchaeus met Jesus, he's going to lose all the things that he had, half of it. And yet he's joyous. Just by receiving Jesus Christ. And you claim to receive Jesus Christ. Do you know this joy? just by Him coming into my heart, just by serving our Lord Jesus Christ, we have this joy inexpressible. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. What are we looking at here? Do you remember Luke chapter 3, verse 8? Therefore, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And that is exactly what Zacchaeus is doing. He is bearing fruits in keeping with repentance. Zacchaeus is bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. And Luke continues to tell us God's will throughout book of Luke. And here chapter 12, verse 33. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor no moth destroys. The Apostle Paul says the same thing in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Now we come to last two verses, verse 9 and 10, and Jesus said to him, Today, salvation has come to this house because he, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, Jesus tells Zacchaeus what really happened to him. He says, Today, salvation has come to this house. And he, too, is a son of Abraham. He is a recipient of the blessings of God according to the promise. And can you see? He is a chief tax collector, a rich person, a ruler, a sinner. Such is a citizen of the kingdom of God. And we are looking at the power of our God. The power. Do you remember what Jesus said before? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And in our passage, then, we witness God performing a miracle that is harder than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Because a rich person is being saved. Indeed, a truly amazing miracle of our God. But look at the crowd. The crowd that is with Jesus, who love the visible miracles, do not love this miracle. Even though it is truly an amazing miracle, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. And they witnessed it and they don't like it. God coming and saving His people. And in just in case the people might misunderstand our passage, Jesus summarizes the whole event in verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Just in case some people might misunderstand that He was Zacchaeus, His great effort and courage to run ahead and climb up into a sycamore tree have saved him. Just in case that some would misunderstand that it is Zacchaeus' earnest seeking that has saved him, Jesus gives us verse 10. Jesus tells us that he came to seek and to save Zacchaeus, who is lost. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. Oh yeah, so many people will tell you, I've been seeking God for 6-7 years and finally I found him. No, no, no. No one seeks God. It is God who seeks you. John chapter 6, verse 65. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you, that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. Non-Christian, they could seek false gods, but they will never seek true God unless Jesus has come to him. And he comes to seek and to save those who are lost. Salvation comes to us because Jesus has come to seek and to save us. It is from the very beginning to the end, all work of God. Now, story of Jesus Christ meeting Zacchaeus is our story. And this is always important to see whenever you come to the Bible, it's about you because it is about Christ. You and I were the lost ones. And it is Jesus who came to us to seek us and to save us. He has called us and saved us. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. And his calling us is not because we were holy or righteous. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. He came to seek the sinners, to save sinners. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we'll look at this verse 10 next time in more detail because I cannot go on to verse 11 because this verse 10 is just amazing, amazing. Brothers and sisters, it is not that we went out to Jesus that he saved us. You and I were not even able to go out to him, but he came and found us and saved us. And this is exactly according to the promise of God in the Old Testament. Jesus came to fulfill that promise of God. Ezekiel 34, verse 16, I will seek the lost, God says, bring back the scattered, and bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. That God has come and he came and found us and saved us and he says to us the same thing. And I want you to hear God's voice telling you this. You, he says, to are the sons of Abraham. Galatians 3:29, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Romans chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had. We're talking about Abraham, while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be credited to them. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. Do you understand? When Abraham was credited as righteous, when Abraham was justified by God as righteous, he was actually uncircumcised at the time. And later, Jews understand Abraham to be the father of all who are circumcised. But what Paul is saying that, no, Abraham is a father of not only Jews, but Gentiles who will trust in Jesus Christ. Because he was called righteous by our God when he was not circumcised. So, can you hear God's voice telling you? The salvation has come to you, and you are also a son of Abraham. Let's end with verse 7. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Yes, Zacchaeus, he is a sinner. And when Jesus goes into his house to have fellowship with Zacchaeus, the people, they all began to grumble. Yes, Zacchaeus is truly a sinner who deserves everyone's grumbling. But let us think about this scene for a while here. You and I are also sinners. And we truly deserve everyone's grumbling. But look at what is happening in our passage. Why does Jesus receive everyone's grumbling? Well, he is receiving it because he loves the sinners and saves the sinners and have a fellowship with sinners. Luke chapter 15, verse 2, both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Jesus Christ receives us and fellowships with us. And because he does that, the whole world grumbles. And if people know how filthy sinners we are, and that grumble is actually reasonable. You know, you will do that too. If you see your friend fellowshipping with some filthy sinner and you go, why would he have fellowship with that person? Jesus comes and fellowships with us. And the people who know how filthy sinners we are, they will grumble if they actually know how filthy sinners you are. But amazing grace is that Jesus does not mind. Jesus does not mind when people grumble because he goes into the house of Zacchaeus to have fellowship with him. Of course, we must do our best to live a holy life so that it will minimize that grumbling. And we must believe that when He saves us, He has made us holy in Him, and He has called us righteous in His sight. And in heaven, you and I, we will live that perfect life that no one will be able to grumble to Jesus Christ because of us. But look at His love for us in our passage. He knew that the crowd would grumble because of His fellowship with the sinners. And yet, He joyfully has fellowship with us. Not only He was willing to receive that grumbling because of us, but He bore our sins and received the eternal punishment of hell in our places on the cross. He gladly accepted the treatment as a sinner in our places. Man, if somebody comes to you and say, because your relationship with your filthy sinner brother, and you know, and whole world knows what your brother has done, and they come to you and blame you because your relationship with that sinner. You will feel so hurt. And you will lash out at them. That's my brother. That's not me. Why are you blaming me? The worst sinner, chief sinner in the whole universe. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not mind to take my place and be treated as filthy sinner. He did not complain. But He died in my place. Do you see that in verse 7? The preview of the cross. That Jesus receives the grumbling of people because of sinners. The preview of what is to come. The cross. This is how much He loves you. He gladly took your place. He did not mind being treated as a sinner like us on the cross and die for our sins. His sufferings and death are for seeking and saving us who are lost. He loves us. He came to me and called my name. He said, Young. And He said to me, I must stay at your house. I must stay at your heart. I didn't hear Him audibly, but through His word, I'm hearing His voice. Young, I must stay at your house. And He proclaimed, today, salvation has come to you. And you too are a son of Abraham. This is what happened to me. And this is what happened to you. And even today, I hear His voice. He calls me. Young. I want to have fellowship with you. So I hurry and come to Him to have fellowship with Him. And this is my life. This is why there's no complaint. I told you already the complaint, the last complaint of Christianity is uttered by our Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. As He dies for our sins, He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is the complaint, the last complaint of Christianity. And brothers and sisters, I want you to truly, truly understand that. Because after He died and resurrected from the dead, if you truly understand what He has accomplished, there is no complaint anymore in Christianity. He calls your name. Today, I must have fellowship with you. So you hurry and you come to Christ. Because that is your present spiritual heavenly reality in Jesus Christ. And I want you to go home and look into the mirror. And see how you are not just you, but you and God together. Just like Jesus Christ, 100% God and 100% man. But also you and me. Do you see it? God who lives in me? Do you see 100% man and 100% God inside of me? How we are united as one. And do you understand the fellowship that goes on between God and me every single moment? By faith, witness it. But thank God that even if we fail to show it, that reality doesn't change. God and me, united, now and forever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have come to seek and to save us. Yes, we were completely lost, but we were found. And we received the salvation of God. We thank You for proclaiming that we are also sons of Abraham. And we thank You that every single moment of our lives, You call our name to have fellowship with us. Let us hurry and come to You every single time. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.